And now I'd like to welcome you. No, I'm just kidding. That would be pretty fun. Hey, welcome Denver. Al K. Seltzer. Hey, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Hey, Shane, stop drawing dragons. Thank you. Okay. Let's pray. God, tonight, it's already been a much different service than we're used to, but God, we love that we can come to church and it doesn't have to be boring, and it doesn't have to seem completely irrelevant to us. Lord, I pray that tonight, just in these short minutes that we have together, that your word would impact our lives, we would receive truth from it, and God, we'd be able to apply it to our lives. Lord, you are so, so good to us, and we don't deserve it. And tonight, Lord, would you speak to us? Would you speak through us? And help us, help our lives to be lived differently because of what we learned tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so turn your Bibles to Revelation 12, if you haven't already. Tonight, you've probably seen the headlines. World War III breaks out in heaven, all right? And we're going to talk a little bit about this big battle. Before we get there, though, I wanted to just point out, and I see a lot of you already in disguises, you know, war paint on your face, camo. I can't even see this kid except for his pixie stick because he's just all camoed in. You know, disguises are an interesting thing. There are lots of them out there. Actually, I found one company that sells dog disguises. You can make your dog look like a different kind of dog, okay? So up on the left, we have a golden retriever that's supposed to look like a Dalmatian. Now, I don't think it would really fool anybody, but I don't know, maybe. And then I really like the Doberman that's supposed to look like a poodle. That one's pretty sweet. So I guess that one's good. Like, if you want your Doberman to, like, attack somebody in your house, you know, they're not going to be scared of a poodle, right? So dress them up like a poodle, and then they will learn their lesson, right? I also found an interesting company that happens to sell book covers that disguise the book that you're reading. Okay, now it's not necessarily about disguising the actual book that you're reading, but what it is kind of supposed to get a laugh or to actually kind of freak people out by this disguise that you put on the outside of your book. It's basically an extra dust sleeve that goes around your book, okay? So you could be reading anything. You could be reading your Bible, but you put this extra cover over your book and just see what kind of reactions you get, okay? For instance, I have a few examples. Imagine, you know, maybe you're flying somewhere, you're sitting next to someone on an airplane, and they pull out their book, How to Murder a Complete Stranger and Get Away with It. You'd be a little freaked out, right? Because it's disguised. How about this one? I love this one. The Nutritional Benefits of Nose Picking. Now imagine, I mean, you'd have to, if you were reading that one, you'd have to just read it for a little while and then look over and like try to shake their hand, you know, like they'd really even want to touch you. How about Fast Track to Prison, Exploring the Many Benefits of Life Behind Bars. That's a good one. Or maybe one of my favorite middle school-esque ones, Perfecting the Art of Fart Projection. Never be blamed again. Wow. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of disguises. We got dogs, we got books, we got, you know, you can change your voice. You can do all, you can wear different things or whatever, right? Well, we're going to learn a little bit about Satan tonight. We're going to see that he has a lot of different disguises as well. In Revelation 12, if you were here about a week and a half ago on the weekend when we studied it, kind of reveals who Satan really is. It pulls back the curtain on who this guy is, and a lot of times we think we know who he is, but we're going to get a very clear glimpse at it tonight. Tonight, we're not only going to look real quickly at who he is, but where he's headed, his eternal destination. And you guys need to know that although Satan seems frightening at times, we have these crazy drawings up here of what, you know, Revelation 12 describes him as, he has been defeated. And we're going to look at that a little bit closer tonight as well. So let's take a look at this war that we're going to read about going on in Revelation 12. Let's start with number one. If you're taking notes, that's Satan's true identity. Satan's true identity. You guys already read Revelation 12, but let's look at verses 3 and 4. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems or crowns on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. What a vicious monster, right? When we first studied this passage, we talked about why John uses so much symbolism. And I talked about how he could have gotten the same point across without the symbolism, right? He could have said, the dragon really didn't like the little baby, right? He could have said that. But instead, he says, the dragon stood before the woman ready to devour her child. That paints a very vivid picture in our minds, doesn't it? And so he gives us this imagery. You guys did a really interesting job of drawing them, you know? And you had, there were so many different ways that you drew them, different heads, different crowns, different tails, all of that stuff. Awesome, awesome ways to do it. But keep in mind what John says here in verse 3, that this is a sign. Okay, look at verse 3. Another sign appeared in heaven. So this is symbolism. So let's briefly take apart some of this symbolism here. Verse 3, let's start there. Who is the dragon? Satan, right? Verse 9, in fact, if you keep reading, tells us that this is Satan. Verse 3. It says that he has seven heads. Now, let's step back a few chapters. We talked about the meaning of that number seven. Do you guys remember what the number seven normally symbolizes?
Completion.
And why do you think it doesn't symbolize perfection? Because the devil isn't perfect, right? And so a lot of people say, well, yeah, number seven is the number of perfection. Well, you're going to have some problems then when you come across Satan with seven heads. You're going to start to think that maybe, well, something doesn't line up. So it's the number of completion, okay? So we have the number seven. We also find out in verse 3 that he has seven heads. What might the head represent in this passage? What might it tell us about Satan? Okay, power. What else could it tell us? Smart? No. Good guess. The number of what?
Sin.
All right. I think it probably has a lot to do with his knowledge, right? He knows us. He knows us very well. And in Revelation 17, verse 10, in fact, you can read it later on, it says that this actually describes seven kings. So he knows us. He's very knowledgeable. Also in verse 3, we find out that he has 10 horns. An animal's power is found in its horns, right? That's where, you know, you see elk, when they fight, they go head to head with their horns, with their antlers, right? Or goats, or, you know, an animal is seen powerful, especially when it has horns. So if he has 10 of them, John is trying to tell us in visual imagery here that he's very powerful. And later on, you can read in Revelation 17, verse 12, that these represent 10 kings who are going to reign with the Antichrist. Satan will have power over 10 of the top rulers of the earth, okay? That's going to be how much power this guy has. Also in verse 3, we found out that he has 7 diadems or 7 crowns. What might 7 crowns tell us about Satan? What do you think? Complete authority, right? The number 7, complete. Crowns represent royalty, authority, right? So 7 crowns would tell us this guy has really, great authority over the earth. And obviously that makes sense if he is controlling 10 of the top kings of the earth. I mean, So are you catching the imagery here? This is a very mean, vicious, powerful, smart dragon with a bad temper, okay? This is not good. This is a bad picture that's being painted of our enemy here. That is who Satan is. That's not always what we think of him. In fact, you guys probably see pictures all the time. Most pictures we see of him, he's smiling. He's the master of hell, right? He's having a great time hanging out in the flames. Look at that guy in the lower right-hand corner. He's like, yippee, I'm Satan, you know? And it just, every time we see him, we're like, wow, Satan looks like he's having a really good time, you know? That's what we often think of this guy. That's not who he is. That is not his true identity. Revelation 12, let me just browse you through some of the names that it calls Satan. Okay, follow along with me. Verse 3 calls him a great, fiery, red dragon. Verse 9 calls him a serpent. It also calls him the devil, which in other words means the slanderer or the liar. It also gives him the name Satan, which means adversary or enemy. And in verse 10, we find out that he's the accuser. That is his true identity. He's not a fun-loving, cool guy to hang out with. He hates you, and he wants to lead you to hell. That is his true identity. And you need to know that tonight. Now, that's not something you're going to hear at every church. There are a lot of churches that won't use the word hell because they don't want to scare people away. I don't want to scare people away either, but it scares me to think that some of you may walk out of here not knowing about heaven or hell. And as long as I'm here, that won't be the case. And I believe that this, you know, God's word teaches that very clearly for us, that Satan hates us and he's out to destroy our lives. And we need to understand that about him. If you guys were here a week and a half ago and we studied this, we talked about this woman that's also symbolized here and who this woman symbolized. And we learned that it was Israel and God's chosen people. So God's chosen people from Adam and Eve till now, both Jews and Gentiles, those who follow Christ. And so for thousands of years, Satan has been trying to get us, to attack us. He's attacked everyone before Jesus who were in the family line of Jesus, hoping to prevent Jesus' birth. Well, he failed at that. We know that because we celebrate Christmas every year. Jesus was born. So he went after the child, Jesus. And eventually he killed him for 3 days. It didn't last, did it? Jesus came back to life. He defeated Satan. But Satan is out to still attack us and to ruin our lives. And you have to know tonight that that is Satan's true identity. At the end of the message tonight, I'm going to give you a chance. Maybe some of you, you are living trying to please yourself. Let me tell you that if that's the way you live your life, focused on yourself, then you are living for Satan, this guy who is out to get you and wants nothing but the worst for you. And at the end of the message tonight, I'm going to give you a chance to turn that around and say, I'm tired of living for that. I want to live for Jesus because I know he's the one who deserves my life. Satan is really good at disguising sin, using it to make it look enticing and to pull us away from the Lord. So that's number one, Satan's true identity. Here's one of my favorites. Number two, Satan's true destiny. Look at verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. So Satan's true destiny. You guys have heard that word destiny, right? The dictionary definition of it is predetermined course of events considered as something beyond human power or control. In other words, that's his destiny. He will fulfill it. That will happen to him. And I can sum up Satan's destiny in one word. You ready for it? You can write it down if you want. Defeat. Defeat. I can sum up everywhere of where Satan is headed for all of eternity with that one word. Defeat. He will be eternally defeated. That's what you guys have to know about this guy. And this war that we just read about in heaven here puts him one step closer to that. I read one guy, one book, he said this. I love this quote. While he presently, this is speaking of Satan, while he presently is roaming the earth, he does so only on a leash held firmly by God's sovereign hand. And although he's allowed to roam the earth, God is still in control. I love the idea of him roaming around on a leash. Have you guys ever seen the kids at the mall on a leash? You know what I'm talking about, you know? And they're all, I have ADD, you know, and they're running all over the place and they run off to the left and the mom's like, hey, get back here, you know, and they're all, oh, you know. And so then they run that way, I have ADD, you know, and they're just pulling them all over, right? The mom's in control. She has that leash. I love, you guys have probably noticed it too, when you see the kids on with the leash. It's never like, it's rarely like a leash on the wrist or something like that. It's disguised as a cute little bear backpack or something, right? The mom's like, hey, look, I got you a backpack. And the kids are, oh, wow. And they put it on. And then while the kid's turned around, she's unzipping it and pulling out the leash that's attached, right? The mom's in control. God is in control. You need to know that about Satan. His true destiny is to continue to be controlled and defeated by God. That's where he's headed for all of eternity. One thing Satan loves to do to us is try to remind us of where we came from and what our lives used to be before Christ and how terrible of people we were. I don't know about you guys, but every once in a while, my mind jogs to the past. And I start having regret and guilt over things that I've already been forgiven for. That's Satan. He wants to bring up our past and remind us constantly. We just read in verse 10, he's the accuser. He's constantly accusing us of the things that we've done, even though he was the one who originally tempted us to do it. That's the way he works. I love this saying that I've always heard about that. When Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Isn't that good? His true destiny is defeat. And when he brings up what you used to be and how you used to live and what a horrible person you were, you know what you do? Remind him of where he's headed. Eternal defeat. All of eternity in hell. Going with this news theme, I have good news for you guys tonight. It doesn't involve Geico, okay? Or car insurance or anything like that. I have good news for you. That is that you don't have to wait till Revelation 12 actually takes place for Satan's defeat. You don't have to wait till the end of the tribulation for Satan to actually be defeated. You can defeat Satan every single day in your life. And I want to give you the recipe to do so. I want you guys to write this down if you have pens. Check it out in verse 11. I'm going to clarify this and give you three words that you can write down. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Here's the first way, the first ingredient, the first key to defeating Satan every day in your life. You ready for it? Write it down. Your Lord. Your Lord. I'm going to give you three L words. Your Lord is the first one. Recognizing every day that you need a Savior, that it's Jesus, and relying on Him. Standing up against temptation. because Jesus overcame its power at the cross. In fact, 1 John 3:8 says that the whole reason Jesus came was to defeat and destroy the devil's work. And I love Hebrews 2:14 because it says Jesus' death did exactly that, destroyed the work of the devil. So the Lord is your first thing. We read in verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Here's the second word, your lips. Don't just live it. Say it too. Be bold with your testimony, with telling people about Jesus. Be bold in your science class, at lunch, in Bible club, at home. Opportunities are everywhere. So the first two ingredients, your Lord, your lips. Here's the third, your life. Let me read verse 11 one more time. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, that's the Lord, and by the word of their testimony, that's their lips. And they did not love their lives to the death. That's number three, your life. Get your priorities straight. These people didn't love their lives to the death. In other words, they would rather die for what they believe than renounce their faith. They were willing to put it all on the line. It's that important to them. Their priorities were in line, and they know who their lives actually belong to. Do you know who your life actually belongs to? In just a moment, I'm going to give you a chance to turn that around tonight. If you need to say, I don't think my life really belongs to the Lord, and tonight you want to give your life to him, I'm going to give you a chance to do that. So here we are talking about this World War III breaking out in heaven. Speaking of battles, I read about a couple battles that went down this week. I read about one lady in Salt Lake City. She witnessed a burglary. There was a guy breaking into one of her coworkers' cars in the parking lot. So she went running out of the building to chase this guy. He sees her coming, freaks out, starts running away, okay? She chases him down, tackles him. He starts squirming around, about to get away. She's trying to call the police. So you know what she does? I love this. She gives him a wedgie and puts him in a headlock until the police arrive. How awesome is that? That's like better than handcuffs, you know? Just give him a wedgie, you know? And it worked. She was able to pin him down until the police showed up. I read about two roommates, speaking of battles, in Oregon. They got in a fight about a parking spot. One of them really wanted to park there, so did the other one. They started fighting. It ended up when it ended with one of the roommates pulling a Mike Tyson and biting off the other guy's earlobe, okay? His earlobe is gone. And they went to the hospital, and the doctor said they won't be able to reattach his earlobe. He is now earlobe-less. Bummer. Over a parking spot. That guy now faces jail time on assault charges. Moral of the story. Good and bad, these people did everything it took to accomplish their purpose. Are you doing everything you can to accomplish God's purpose in your life? To stand up against temptation? To defeat Satan every day in your life? Revelation 12 shows us this battle, and it's gonna break out during the end of the tribulation. But I don't want you guys to stand around waiting for this to happen. Some of you guys are thinking, well, I don't even have to worry about this because you've been studying along with us and you know the church isn't even going to be here when this happens. So what do we have to be worried about? Maybe you think this doesn't really even apply to you. Well, don't just stand around. Don't think this doesn't apply to you because you guys need to know there's a battle going on right now for your souls. Even for your attention right now. Satan wants to distract you from hearing what God's word has to say to you right now. He would love to distract you. He would love to pull you away. He would love to make you think that someone else or something else is more important. You guys are on the front lines. You guys are on the front lines of this battle. in your home, at your school, in your classes, with your friends. Everywhere you look, Satan is out to entice you and to distract you. And you have no idea when it's going to come. I learned that hands-on tonight. I came over here to talk with Courtney before service. And I walked out into the hallway. And they were practicing with the marshmallow guns. And I walked out the door and I was just standing there talking. Boom! Right in my eyeball, I got hit with a marshmallow, thanks to Richard. And so everybody laughed and I cried a little bit and it literally hit me directly in my eyeball, okay? It wasn't like right here in the fort. No, it was touching my eyeball with marshmallow powder at 40 miles an hour or something. But I learned a hands-on, right? I mean, we never know what is going to hit us from out of nowhere. Think about that spiritually. You guys need to be prepared. You guys have to be ready because when you go to school tomorrow, you have no idea how Satan may want to attack. Are you ready? You are on the front lines of this battle every single day. And some of you, for some of you, Satan is winning more and more every day in your lives. Some of you, you're not okay with that. And you're ready tonight to turn that around. I'm going to give you a chance to do that. You guys need to know that everywhere you look, Satan is out to defeat you. But the good news is, you guys can defeat him. Don't let him pull you in. Maybe some of you tonight need to defeat him by saying that you're done living his way. You're done living for yourself. You're tired of the drugs. You're tired of the sex. You're tired of the lust, the anger, the whatever. It's all out there. And we'd be lying to you if we said it wasn't. Some of you are in deep depression. Some of you are cutting. Some of you are into stuff that you would never want anybody else to know. Guys, that's reality. I know it just like anybody else. And you have to know that Jesus loves you. He doesn't want you in that stuff. You don't have to release your pain by cutting yourself. You don't have to find love in a boy or a girl because eventually it's going to fail. You have to understand that Jesus loves you. And I hope tonight, just like I did when we first originally studied this passage, I hope tonight you feel the contrast between Satan's intense, burning, undying hatred for you versus God's intense, burning, undying love for you. It's so crazy that God loves you. And some of you guys just don't get it. Some of you just don't care. I'm not going to stand up here and beg you to give your life to the Lord. I think God is worth much more than that. And if you're not ready, then you play with your own eternity. You do what you want. But I want to tell you guys tonight that Jesus offers eternal life. And you don't have to live the life that you're living anymore following Satan and his ways. He hates you. And maybe tonight you need to tell him that you hate him. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to close with a word of prayer. And then I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to give you a chance to stand up where you are so I could pray with you if you need to turn your life over to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, you are so good and so faithful. And I believe that Satan hates what we're doing here tonight. But that's okay because we hate him. And Lord, you've defeated him. We know that his true destiny is eternal defeat. We know who he really is. He is this vicious, angry, powerful dragon that's out to hate us and kill us, drag us away from you. Lord, he's done a great job on some of these students here tonight. I pray, God, that you'd pull them back. You'd remind them tonight of your love, despite what they've done, despite who they are. No matter who they are or good or bad or whatever, God, I pray that they would tonight understand that they need you. God, we love you and we thank you for your grace and the free gift of eternal life that you offer. Right now, I'm just going to ask any of you, you guys can just keep your heads bowed if you'd like. I'm going to ask any of you who tonight you realize you're living for yourself. You care more about yourself. You care more about being cool or fitting in or having friends than anything else. And tonight you realize, I'm ready to quit living that lifestyle. Maybe tonight you realize that the path that you're living on is going to lead to destruction. It's exactly where a life lived, anything apart from Christ, will lead. And tonight, if that's you, and you say for the first time tonight, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I'm done living for Satan, living for myself. I'm ready right now. Then I want you to stand in your seat, right where you are. Not stand on your chair, but stand right where you are. Is there anybody tonight that needs to do that? It's nothing you need to be scared of or be afraid of or be ashamed of. Tonight, you're just ready. And you just want to say, I'm ready in front of all these people to commit my life to Christ. Is there anybody here tonight who needs to make that decision? Is there anybody who needs to do that? First time, you just want to stand up and say, tonight I'm ready to commit my life to Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you would even give us another chance. And God, I wonder if there are students in this room who need you, but maybe there's something holding them back. God, I pray that you would remove whatever that thing is. I pray, God, that you would shine brighter than all of the things that the world offers, that Satan has disguised so well. Pray that our lives would be lived for you. Lord, these students, I believe a majority of them that have committed their lives to you, I pray that they would shine as witnesses, as strong, godly examples of your word in their schools, in their homes, in their groups, in their friends, wherever they are. And that, God, because of these students, this generation would be different. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for coming, and hey,